the best 60 minutes of your day. That's normally the John Anderson, a.k.a. 7-2.5, Woody High Jump, ESPN Homer Hour on Tuesday. But he is on assignment. So you know what that means? That means the Homer Hour is Homer. I get to decide who's going to be on the show. I remember when he said it last week. Said, oh, I want to tell you one thing. Yale is going to beat Auburn. I so much didn't believe him, I didn't even listen to what he said was the reason why. I just thought, come on. You're just picking Yale because I don't know why you would pick Yale to beat Auburn. And I'm watching the end of the game going, I'm going to get a text from Mike Dean. He's going to tell me, like, I forgot. No, I'm watching it going, damn, he's going to be right. Joining us now is the current NCAA tournament predictor legend, former Marquette coach, and he coached everywhere else and got to the tournament everywhere else. There's probably a better introduction. I should know all those schools. But joining us now is Mike Dean. What?
It's not relevant.
It is relevant. You went to like four different schools to the NCAA tournament, one of only a couple coaches, something like that.
Yeah.
A few. Okay. You said it.
Yeah, you cut me off.
I didn't believe it. I thought he just wanted to say something to say something. I gave 0% chance that you actually believe that, which is wrong because you always believe everything you say. But I couldn't handle that one, and they won. How?
Well, they're pretty good. They're pretty good, and
they're Yale. They shouldn't have even been in the tournament. Brown had him beat in one of the great late game collapses ever. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. But they were by far the best team in the Ivy League. Just because you're the best team in one of those mid-level leagues doesn't mean you're going to win the tournament every year.
Yeah, that's correct. I should have considered that. Another mistake.
Indiana State belongs in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And they're not in it because they lost the third game against Drake. And both of those teams are pretty good.
Right, but aren't I correct? Those conferences could choose to determine their champion as the NCAA regular season champion, and in fact, the Ivy League used to do that, and they've all changed to have a tournament. And you may why
right.
you know
Everybody
why the
does.
Money or just for attention or what?
No, it's not money. There's no money to be made in those mid-level tournaments. They don't.
Okay, so why do they? Why would the Ivy League do it then?
Because then everybody, every school is technically in the NCAA tournament that way.
But you risk
you lose.
Right, but you risk a very good team that could do something in the NCAA might not get to play because they have one bad game in your tournament.
No, you're absolutely right. I think Missouri Valley was guilty of losing the best team they had from getting into the tournament. There's no doubt about it, but in the Ivy League, fortunately, Yale won because Brown I would not have picked, even though I think that the Ivy League is a better league than most people give them credit
for.
Well,
no, clearly it is. You have all these schools that are taking kids from the Ivy League and adding them to their team. Was it St. John's? Kid from Harvard? Yale? Yes.
Yeah, so if you get an injury in the Ivy League, you cannot get a redshirt year. So there's a lot of guys that have that fifth year availability coming out of the Ivy League because they missed a year playing, and they're obviously pretty good players, and they can make a contribution at a higher level. The reason I picked Yale is because, and it's something we're not going to see 2 years from now ever again, these upsets that Oakland and Yale pulled off, that JMU pulled off, it's not going to happen 2 years from now because those teams are all senior-laden. They've been together for 4 years. They have a real feel for each other. There's a connectivity that they enjoy that the teams with the monster athletes don't have in today's very, very self-absorbed and single-minded selfishness that players have in their quest to get to the NBA and to make money. These programs are still connected. The guys are good teammates. The guys care about winning. They make the extra pass. And I knew that Yale could really shoot the ball. Ironically, the second night out, they got great open shots and couldn't hit their rear end with a paddle. So sometimes that happens as well. But a team like Kentucky has faltered the last couple of years.
All kids.
Yeah, because they're so young, and they end up playing against these teams that are really, really well connected, and it's a one-time shot, and things start to go bad, and the guys try to take it upon themselves. They don't know how to do it collectively just yet. And if John Calipari ever had those guys together for 3 years, there wouldn't be any. You know, he would win all the time because he has great talent, but the nature of the beast is that those guys all leave after a year. A lot of them do, and very few stay 4 years. And so the program is revamped every year, and there's no remembrance of what happened the year before, you know.
Talking with the legend, he picked Yale to beat Auburn, and he believed it. Some people
picked.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know this. People pick Yale. They pick them because they went to school. You picked Yale because you thought they would win. I want to address seniors. I think there may be senior-laden teams, but with transfer, they might be a group that have played other places before. That, I'm assuming, to you, would not be the same as these kind of senior-laden
teams. No, because, you know, no one stays at their respective school at the mid-level for 4 years unless they're not very good. What's happening now, every freshman and sophomore that is a 12 to 15 point scorer at even the Siennas of the world, they're leaving and going to get NIL money, because NIL money doesn't exist at all of these schools in the mid-level. And it's going to continue to get worse and worse for those mid-level schools to try to hang on to players. So you're not going to see a team like Yale or like James Madison was this year.
Well, I would say like NC State. I wanted to ask you about Marquette. I think NC State is like all seniors. Or maybe
right,
some of
right. Down to the highest level schools can do that sometimes when they have guys that aren't, you know, draft picks.
Correct.
You know,
NC State wasn't very good, and now that's why I guess.
And look at North Carolina. Look at North Carolina. I mean, there's a number of guys on that team that have stayed all 4 years. Because they weren't ready to go into the league. And now, let's face it, if you're a marginal NBA prospect,
stay in college.
Stay in college because you're making money. The center at Purdue, a player of the year probably for 2 years in a row, is not high on the draft board on any team. And yet, so he stayed in, and he made a lot of money at Purdue, staying in and giving them the a path to maybe the Final Four. Who knows? But at the same time, the big guy from Connecticut, who's a sophomore now, probably is not staying because he's going to be on everybody's
board. Well, the kid on Colorado, Williams, who's a freshman, he started on the bench. He's the sixth man. Didn't start, which I don't understand. I thought I think he'll be the best pro of anybody in that game.
You might be right.
But I'm saying, I want to ask you, I want to get to your other picks now, because now that you're a genius, I want to see if you can hit another one like that. But I also, I'd put you in charge. Look, you have to pay the players. They're making millions and gazillions of money, and they deserve a certain share of it. So clearly the current system is a mess. They know it's a mess, which means they haven't, very smart people, haven't figured anything else yet that's better. And this is like 3 years. So I'm putting you in charge.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do? What would you do?
I'm going to go to the European system, take all the teams away from the colleges, remove sports from college, and make it an academic pursuit, and take the teams, and each community has their club team, like in Europe. I think it's a much better system, and you can pay them at 12 if you want to. You can pay them at 18,
yes.
Or you don't have to pay them at
Rafael
all.
Rafael Nadal got his first shoe contract at 9.
Right. Yeah, so I think that.
But that's then you no. But I got to interrupt you. They're going to fire you because the idea is to continue the love that people have for their school and college sports. They don't like your option. What's plan two?
Plan two is Plan A is in complete juxtaposition to what people really want.
Yes.
Plan B is there's a breakaway of 80 schools form this independent top division, mm-hmm. and everyone else goes into Division III mode and the amateur mode, and you don't pay those guys, and then all those 80 teams have to play each other and beat each other up, and the tournament has lost its luster. The interest of the first weekend and the upsets, but the money is there, and the Big Ten Network and the Big East Network and the ACC Network provide the necessary money. And it gets worse and worse. That's I'm glad I'm not involved.
Hold on, but I don't know that it gets worse and worse. Does it? By the way, we've hired you, but only if you do plan two, because yes, okay. We're moving toward.
Well, I would get fired because not that that's never happened to me before, but I'll tell you the truth. Because if there's 80. Or let's say it's 100 teams.
Right.
Somehow.
Well, no, it could be. I think it could be a smaller number in football and a larger number in basketball, for example.
You could do that. Okay. But let's say that it's right around 100 to 110.
Got it.
The biggest weekend in Las Vegas is the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Bigger than the Super Bowl, bigger than any other weekend, sports weekend. Because everyone's interested, the allure of picking your bracket, of picking the upsets, of being able to maneuver things is what makes this tournament great. And those wins by JMU, by Oakland, and by Yale are what makes it as good an event as there is in this country, sports-wise. Well, if you eliminate JMU, Oakland, and Yale, then it's lost its luster. It's lost its.
Yeah, it's
you're
all,
still
yeah.
root for your team.
You've lost some of that.
You're still root for your team. Yeah, you're gonna lose a lot, in my opinion, of what the tournament is all about. And I've been at the top level, obviously at Marquette, and I've been at the lower levels, and we've pulled off some upsets, and we've been in the tournament a few times, and it's a tremendous thing for those mid-level to low-level schools just to get to the tournament. Then to win a game is
right. Now, you're right. I might have to fire you because I really think that you could come up with the best possible plan B, like exactly how many schools. Maybe you have some small schools that you put in and you make the tournament, but whatever. You don't seem to want to.
Well, here's the big thing. The problem is that if you do this, there's no NIL for those schools, or
correct.
Very minimal.
Yes,
and there's no scholarships anymore. Or if there is scholarships, all right. But what do you have, a Division II tournament, or do they have to? I mean, who plays?
Well, just like in Europe, I'll take the top four twos, and put them in the NCAA tournament with a chance to have one of those upsets you talk about.
Well, that's it, but then you got to drop four teams too every year, and then no one's going to do that because those schools spend a lot of money.
And then
I'm wondering too, if you start doing revenue sharing, which is what everybody's talking about,
mm-hmm.
you start doing revenue sharing, what happens to all the non-revenue sports?
They're on their way out. No, they're on their way out.
Right, they're
going to be
on
club
their way
sports.
Out. So, well, point is it.
Yeah.
You're only going to have men's and women's basketball. You're going to have hockey. You're going to have
football.
But
in those 100 schools, you might be able to afford helping those other sports out. Those schools might be able to have some other sports.
Right, but you know that obviously there's a lot of logistical problems with all that. Which all right. ones play what? And you know right. it's not an easy solution.
No,
it's not an easy solution.
Very hard. They can't figure it out. This is a mess, and they know it's a mess.
Let's hope they keep the government out of it because they're the ones that got involved and started this whole thing. And the government never seems to be able to come to any kind
now
of
consensus. Now I want to hire you again. Just that belief alone. All right. Let's get to the other games. You got another Yale win for me here.
I have two Final Four picks.
All right.
Creighton and Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois. They could win the whole thing, right? You think that's possible?
I think it's possible.
All right.
I like Creighton and I like Illinois. I like Creighton because they have three pretty good offensive weapons at forward, at guard, and at center.
They don't defend well enough, I don't think.
No, they might not. And
right,
yet,
okay. I'm not arguing.
The tournament comes down to who shoots the ball the best.
Yes.
And the best guard play more often than not. So I think they have pretty good guard play, and I think they shoot the ball well.
All right.
And I think Gonzaga would be my next team.
Yes, I knew. I had them at the top of your list. They're underestimated.
Yeah,
They're better than people.
I like them as well. And so those are my three teams that have a, you know, that wouldn't be popular choices or consensus choices.
If you hit two of the three, I'm bringing you back on to lead the show on Monday.
Well, by then I'll have plan C for saving the NCAA.
Well, once you said keep the government out, I'm back to hiring you again. They should certainly get you as a consultant. But your premise about Europe, we could talk some other time. And they were way ahead, and they've much better got it figured out better as far as athletics. But we love our schools. All right. All right. About Marquette. What do you like best about Marquette? Top of the list.
That Kolick's playing.
Yeah.
That's what I like best.
39 minutes. Can you play 40?
Yeah.
I mean,
Aaron
should you?
Hutchins used to most of the time. Yeah,
yes,
Marin Hutchins
true.
Used to most of the time. And when I had good teams at Siena, Mark Brown played 39. Doremus Pennerman played 39. I mean, your point guard is the one guy that can play 39
but
minutes.
But did they rebound as much as Kolick does? He's in the middle of
all that, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they all rebounded some
because
they have a free reign to go to the defensive boards more often than not if they're guarding their man because their man is back on defensive balance. However, Kolick does a pretty good job because he gets into physical confrontations with the other team's center because they switch a lot on that high ball screen.
Yep.
And he still does the job. I think he's an outstanding college basketball player, and he's a three-point shooter away from being a great pro, I think.
Wow.
The Steve Nash type player without Steve Nash's jumper right now.
All right, who would you rather have them play, Duke or Houston? I say Duke, but I'm going to listen to you.
Duke is, I think they match up better
with Duke.
Against Duke.
Oh, okay.
I think Houston has some athletic superiority, and you know you'd rather not encounter that. I think they can play every second with Duke. I think it'd be a great game.
Right.
If they play Houston, I just think they have to shoot the ball very well.
Right, and they need a stretch where Houston just doesn't score. That happens to them once in a while, and I lose. So Mike Dean has Creighton, Illinois, Gonzaga as possible Final Four. And now my last question for you. You're coaching against UConn.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
Hope it's a championship game, so at least I'm in second place.
No. You would find a way. I don't know if you would find a way. It's hard to say because I'm not giving you a team. But what?
I would play some zone.
Yes.
I would never once let them bring the ball down comfortably down the floor. I would every time we scored, we'd be in some kind of press. It could be a soft press, and Marquette does that very well. But I would never once allow them to come down the floor without trying to use 7 or 8 seconds to get it over.
Shorten the game, or why?
Well, just shorten the clock on them.
All right, okay.
Shorten the clock on them, and then I would play more zone. Because I just don't think they've seen a lot of zone, and so I'd like to throw something different at them. Might even figure out how to throw some kind of combination zone at them or some kind of half-court trapping defense. Just not let them stay in their comfort zone.
All right. And lastly, how do you score against them?
Well, you know, the way you score, you have to play your game.
Right,
I don't think at this juncture of the season you can add a whole lot of things, but you might add one or two wrinkles to – I don't know what to do because I don't know Marquette as well as
I
would like.
Yeah, I'm thinking of any team. All right, because I've run out of time. I'm always late. But Creighton, Illinois, Gonzaga, two of those three make the Final Four. You lead the show on Monday. And of the three, who do you like with the best to make the Final Four? Or do you not really have one of those three?
On my card, on my bracket, I have Creighton. I've picked Creighton. I'm sticking with Creighton.
Right.
They could easily lose their next game, but I really like the way they play, and I'm hoping that their connectivity is enough to push them along, but I'm rooting for Marquette.
I know, yes. Appreciate that. And I do know this. You're not going to flinch on your picks. Yeah. You didn't on Yale.
No, I
don't think you've ever done anything that I've been a party to as amazing as picking Yale over Auburn. Damn if it didn't happen. All right. Probably talk to you on Monday. Tom Oates next.
All right,
bye.